Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
Come on with me to Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. That's where we'll begin. And we're going to discover 10 ways to be ready. Say it, be ready. Come on in your home, say it, be ready for the other side. Verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river Euphrates and to all the Hittite country and to the Mediterranean Sea to the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Would you bow your heads as we pray? Father, we thank you. We thank you that we're crossing over. We thank you that there is another side. We thank you that you'll never leave us or forsake us. That's your promise. And Jesus, that promise is guaranteed because of what you did 2,000 years ago for us. With your blood, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, guaranteeing our entrance into heaven forever. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Thank you for making a way where there was no way. And thank you for securing us, securing our lives with you forever, allowing us to be a part of your family. Holy Spirit, prepare our hearts today to receive your truth, truth that will set us to another level of freedom, of healing, of joy, of blessing. Jesus, you said you came to bring life and life more abundantly. Holy Spirit, lead us into that abundant life. Lord, we know there's an inheritance that you have for us. For all those here that are still breathing, there's an inheritance. There is a purpose and a plan that you have for us to accomplish. We have significance in this life. Our hope is in you. Holy Spirit, if there be anyone here today or watching online that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I pray you prepare their heart to receive the love of God, to receive God's forgiveness, his goodness, the abundant life, eternal life today. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right. Number one, the first thing you must be, if you are going to enter, if you're going to enter into your promised land, if you are going to get to the other side and fulfill the purposes and the plans of God, is number one, you got to be real. You got to be real. Be real. God already knows what's going on inside. God already knows your circumstance. But you've got to acknowledge it. You've got to acknowledge it. This is so important that God actually tells Joshua what's obvious. What's obvious? What's obvious is Moses is dead. Yet God felt like it was important enough to remind Joshua that, hey, Joshua, Moses is dead. Church, it's so important that we confess the obvious, that we speak the obvious to God and to others, that we get real. In fact, this is what's made so many Christians irrelevant, is that they just aren't real. What I have found, when I'm the most real, I'm the most relevant. When I can acknowledge the facts of difficulties in my life and challenges that are going on in my life, when I can acknowledge what I'm struggling with, when I confess what I have fallen in life, what I'm struggling with in life, that's when I actually really prepare to change. It's the beginning place. It's ground zero. Let's get real. Can we just get real? The last 8 to 10 weeks has been difficult. There's been some challenges. There's been some changes. You can acknowledge the facts without complaining. But even if you can't, just get real and let it out. I mean, we have David's journal, right? The Psalms, right? It's really David getting real. I mean, you can't get more real than David. I mean, he just got real in the Psalms, doesn't he? So real that he just confessed, God, I want you to kill everybody. I mean, he's ugly. But guess what? We got some ugliness inside of us. And God doesn't want it inside. He wants to get it out. He wants to fill it with what's lovely and pure and what's good. But if we don't get real, if we won't confess and just acknowledge the facts, you're not going to get the freedom, and you're not going to enter into the fullness of the promised land that God has. Get real. Be real. Yeah. Moses is dead, Joshua. Deal with it. Cry, weep, mourn. Deal with it. Real. Like, it's, you know, there's a lot of things here that you could, you know, unpack. God saying, Joshua, Moses is dead. Okay, let's deal with the heartache of that, the mourning of that. But now, what else do we have to deal with? Hey, Joshua, you're in charge. You're in charge. Children of God, you're a leader. God's called you to lead. But if you're going to lead effectively the way God wants, you're going to have to lead yourself. Leadership is influence, John Maxwell says. Best definition. Leadership is influence. But if you can't influence yourself, you're not going to be able to influence others. Now again, here's the good news that we're going to find out. We don't have to do this alone. We don't have to do this in our own strength. Hallelujah. But that's part of being real. Get real. Let's get real. I can't do this alone. That's what salvation is. That's what us coming to Jesus, those that are watching, that is what the gospel's all about, is coming to the end of yourself. I can't do this alone. I can't do this by myself. Peace just seems to keep leaving, and I can't hold on to it. It's just so elusive, and it's so tiring. And when you're tired enough to say, I give up, now you're ready. Now you're ready. True Christianity is not adding Jesus on. This is fake Christianity. This is counterfeit. True Christianity is going, I give up. I surrender. I can't do this without you. Amen? And in every situation, every season of our life, this is the place, this is the beginning place to change, is get real. Come on, let's keep it real, church. This is what a dying and hurting world needs, is a church that doesn't walk out those doors and pretend like they got it all together, but a people that walk out those doors going, man, I need Jesus. You know, I heard it, I was accused or heard it said that, oh man, that Christianity is like a crutch. Thought about that, ponder that, go, no. Christianity is not like a crutch, it's more like a wheelchair. I put all my weight on him. Amen? All right. James chapter 3, verse 17 says, but the wisdom that comes from God is first of all pure, then peaceful, gentle, and easy to please. This wisdom is always ready to help those who are troubled and to do good for others. It is always fair and honest. Wisdom begins by being honest. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What does that mean? It means he knows everything. I mean, he knows everything. He knows it all. He knows all your junk. He knows all my junk. Nothing is hidden from God. But wisdom, the wisdom of God. God gave wisdom to Solomon. Right? He was real. Solomon was like, I can't do this. I don't want to do this. I need wisdom, God. I need your help. Number two, be prepared. Be prepared. Are you prepared for change? Are you preparing for it? One, you recognize, I need it. I need change. I want change. Church, we have decided to not waste this storm called Corona. We have been preparing. And we don't even fully know what we're preparing for. That much more. Why? We need to prepare. Well, prepare for what? Prepare for God. Prepare for God to move. Joshua 3:5 says this, and Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Sanctify, set yourself apart. Find a place, set time apart. I mean, church, I'm so proud. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of how you've pressed in with us, that we have been pressing in. We've been praying like never before. We've been joining together, not in person, but in the spirit, morning, afternoon, and night, praying. And let me say, we're not going back to that weak prayer life before Corona. We're pressing on to greater things. Understand what God does have for you and I will take a miracle to accomplish. And whatever it is in your life that you think you can do it by yourself, know, understand this about whatever your plans are. If you think you can accomplish those plans, they're not God's plans. For the plans that God has for you and I, yes, should bring a great hope and a delight for our future. But understand, if you think you can accomplish those plans apart from God and apart from needing a miracle, you've got the wrong plans. There is an inheritance that God has on the other side of this storm for all of us, as a church, as families, as individuals. There's an inheritance. And there are giants in that land that are going to fight you from getting that inheritance. And if you think you can defeat those giants in your own strength, you are deceived. You are wrong. God made it this way. Why? Because he loves you and me and wants a relationship with you and I. That's why. Are you prepared? Are you preparing? Are you preparing? The best way and best place to prepare is right here. This is the greatest preparation place. There's no better preparing than right here. Number three. Third way to be ready for the other side is be prophetic. Be prophetic. What does that mean, to be prophetic? It means make predictions. Make predictions. This might have been one of the reasons why I've been on my knees more than ever, is because it's hard to see the future right now. It's hard to know what's what. And I'm super grateful for God in that He prepared us to reassemble right in this moment. We have been planning for Pentecost Sunday to be the Sunday that the doors are wide open, and we may have 4, 5, 6, 7 services. If that's what we need, then that's what we're going to do. But this was our preparation. This was our prediction as a body, as a church. This is what we were predicting. But we had no idea 7, 8 weeks ago, but we were making prophetic predictions that this is what was going to happen. Even though we couldn't see it. So how do we even make those kind of predictions and preparation? Is because, not because we're all knowing and wise, it's because we're just staying close to Jesus and doing what He says to do next. But if I could just be real, there's a level of anxiety that I want to know what's going to happen in August. I want to know what's going to happen, what's coming. And I believe God is calling His people to know some things. We see in part. We prophesy in part. What are you seeing? What are you predicting? Oh man, that's above my pay grade. Yeah, it might be, but it's not above God's. And He lives inside of you. Listen to this promise. Listen to this prediction or prophecy by Joel. And we're living in these times. Listen to this. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will dream dreams, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Next week, our series, The River, is all about this prophecy. The outpouring of the Spirit of God, the river of God. Rivers of living water will flow from within you. That's what Jesus predicted. That's what He prophesied. This Holy Spirit who is with you will soon be in you. And He said, rivers of living water will flow from you who believe. Joel prophesied that hundreds of years earlier. He predicted. Church, we are to be prophetic. We are to be those that prophesy those things that aren't as though they were, as God speaks. This is how we bring change. And all of us, the Spirit of God will be poured out on all flesh. It's not just for a few select people who can make predictions. We're all to. I mean, isn't that what people get called into businesses and consultants and to make a lot of money because they have the ability to make predictions? You and I have the God of all creation that already knows how it all plays out, living inside. Do you not think He wants to give us a little insight on the future? You have to envision it. It's so important. Vision is so important. The power of vision. I mean, you want to get in shape. I mean, some people want to change and go, I'd like to lose some weight, or I'd like to get in shape. Well, one of the powerful things that helps you accomplish that and fulfill that is what? A vision. Can you envision a skinnier you? Can you envision a healthier you? Can you see it? Proverbs tells us that Proverbs 29:18 says this, where there is no clear prophetic vision, People quickly wander astray. But when you follow the revelation of the word, heaven's bliss fills your soul. Come on! Be ready. Be prophetic. Not pathetic, prophetic. It's pathetic that the church isn't being prophetic. Number four, be strong. Be strong. Verse 6, God says to Joshua, be strong, be strong, be strong. Don't do strong, be strong. See, the power of the gospel, the power of God, the power of the good news is that you are to be it before you do it. Because when you try to do it before you're being it, that's your own works, your own strength. And religions are formed out of that. But when you do it out of place of being, then God gets all the glory. Amen? Galatians 3:27 says, it was faith that immersed you into Christ, into Jesus, the anointed one. And now you are covered and clothed with his anointing. Come on, be strong, not in your own strength, by the Spirit of God. Be covered. Receive power from on high. And be strong. Come on, say it. Be strong. Come on, with me. You can do this. Be strong. Number 5, be courageous. If you're going to be courageous, you're going to need to be strong. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 says this, remember to stay alert and hold firmly to all that you believe. Be mighty and full of courage. Full of courage. Are you full of courage? Are you full of courage? Listen, you don't need courage if you don't have things in your life that need to be overcome. If there aren't things that are fearful and anxiety and problems, if there aren't giants in your life, why do you need courage? But what God's called all of us to is impossible apart from Him and apart from being full of courage. So this is a decision that you get to make, we get to make. Are you going to choose to be filled with courage? Be strong, be courageous. God says this over and over again, doesn't He? Joshua, be strong. Be courageous. Be it. Don't do it. Be it. Be courageous. And then you'll do courageous. Number 6, be a leader. Yes, be a leader. Every one of you in this room, if you are a child of God, you are a leader. You've been called to influence this world. You've been called to bring heaven to earth. That's what we're leading to do. We're bringing heaven to earth. We're called to influence our worlds. We're called to make this world a better place. God wants your life to echo for eternity. It's by leading. The kingdom, it's an upside down thing. It's not striving to go up. It's you go down and then you're lifted up. You humble yourself. You serve. The desire to be great and the desire to be a great leader is a godly desire. Jesus never rebukes the disciples for desiring to be great. He just told them how to do it. God created you and me for greatness. Come on, turn to the person next to you and say, you're a leader. You've been made for greatness. Number 7, or actually verse 6 says this, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Okay, so you are a leader. You are a leader. That's who you are. And you can lead yourself. In fact, as I said before, before you will effectively lead others, you have to lead yourself. But you don't have to do it in your own strength. You don't have to do it, like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to lead my... No. Do it like this. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, lead me. Lead me. Man, grace. Grace makes the impossible look easy. For Jesus called us to go out into all the world as his disciples, teaching others the ways of the kingdom, to obey his ways. Remember this about obeying God. There's blessing. There's protection. That's a result. The devil would like you to think that obeying God means a terrible life. That God's this cosmic killjoy. It's not true. The devil counterfeits and destroys what's good. Number 7, be obedient. Verse 7 says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. You know, can we just get real for a second? You know, so many times, you know, Christians are like, you know, well, you should obey just because, you know, it's the right thing to do, not because there's any blessing attached. And like, you know, you know, when you give, you shouldn't expect anything in return. And, you know, if you come, why do we talk like that when God doesn't talk like that? God is a rewarder. In fact, you actually cause him displeasure when you don't believe that. And when you don't think God will reward you for obeying him, that doesn't please God. Hebrews tells us, 11 says, it's impossible to please God without faith. You must believe that he exists and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Oh, I fully expect when I obey God, blessing. Now, it may not happen exactly the way I think it will, but I know he's a rewarder. Even if I don't get rewarded on this side of heaven, there's reward waiting for me on the other side. That's who he is. Amen? That's who God is. So be obedient, and you will eat the best of the land, Isaiah says. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. If you are willing, if you have a willing heart to let me help you. I love that. I love that translation. If you have a willing heart to let me help you, and if you obey me, you will feast on the blessings of the abundant harvest. Another translation says, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land. Number 8, be brave. Be brave. Don't be afraid. Be brave. If you need to be brave, guess what? There's something. There's some fear. There's some obstacle. There's some anxiety. There's some situation that you have to trust God in. A courageous life, a brave life, is not a life that's without fear. In fact, it's the opposite. If you're going to be brave, there's going to be fear. He's called you to be brave. Be brave. Don't be afraid. Verse 9 says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. God commands us, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. It doesn't mean there aren't situations to be afraid of in your life. Just don't choose it. Just don't choose to be afraid. Be brave and trust God. Amen? Again, point number 1, be real. Be real and confess the fearful things, the fearful circumstances that are in your life, that are going on. Be real. The world needs us to be real. They need to see the process too. Sometimes we just go, well, fear not, I'm not afraid. And they're just, you're stupid. Because they don't know the process that got you to that place of being brave and unafraid. Be real about that. Jesus was real. He let us in on his struggle with going to the cross. Y'all, this is so important because this is what will make you most effective in sharing the good news with others, is that you're real. That you're real. You're not fake. This has been the accusation to the church and to many of us, is some that we're not real. I was there. I thought I had to be perfect and look perfect in order to win people for Jesus. But it was in my failure and them seeing the grace of God lift me up that actually caused my teammates and friends to run to Jesus. This is the Jesus people want. Not the self-righteous, religious, works-based. It's all grace. It's all about being a child of God, not doing a child of God. Be brave. Psalm 27:14 says, wait for the Lord's help. Wait for the Lord's help. Be strong and brave. Wait for the Lord's help. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, the Lord himself goes before you, and he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Come on. Why? Why do we not have to be afraid? Because God's with us. He's with us. That's why we don't have to be afraid. I mean, this reminds me of years ago when I was a young teenager, or maybe not even a teenager yet, and I was on my way to a neighborhood fight that was scheduled. It was a pretty even set up match. But I wasn't afraid. Why? Because I took my older brother with me. Yeah, I took my older brother, NHL hockey player, with me. He's with you. He's for you, and he will never leave you. If it ever gets too hard, he's right there. I mean, my mentor, Pastor Rice, said you can understand everything in life if you understand, you know, WWE, that wrestling federation stuff, right? Good and evil's understood right in that match. But just the tag team wrestling, right? I mean, right there, it's just like he's there whenever it is, just tag me. Just tag me, I'll come in. He'll never leave us, church. Wherever we go, he's there. He's ready to be tagged. He's ready to take over. Come on, let's give Jesus the wheel again to our lives. Amen? Don't be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Number 9, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Don't be discouraged. But be encouraged. Isaiah 40:31. After I got saved, I was introduced to this verse, and I don't remember going out and wrestling one wrestling match without reading this verse. And there were a few others, but this was one of those. It encouraged me. And you've heard me say this before, that I feel like I've never lost a wrestling match. Just ran out of time. But listen to this promise. Let it encourage you. Let it encourage you today. You know, if you're not taking notes, why not? But if you are, make sure you write this verse down. Isaiah 40:31. An incredible promise. But to those who wait for Yahweh's grace will experience divine strength. They will rise up on soaring wings and fly like eagles. They will run their race without growing weary and walk through life without giving up. See, this is one thing by the grace of God is I just will not give up. And I won't give up because of my own strength. It's because of this promise. And if you're still breathing, guess what? Life has not won. Your circumstances have not won. Don't give up. Be encouraged today. For our God is a miracle-working God. You know, there's one thing I know. We all love miracles, don't we? Don't you? We all love miracles. But none of us wants to need a miracle. Can we get real? My flesh, I don't want to need one. But we ain't going to see a miracle if there isn't a miracle needed. Some of you may feel like, man, I need a miracle. I need a miracle in my life. And here's the good news. We serve a God who's a God of miracles. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. As you read your Bible, he's performing miracles for people who are messed up even more than you. That should give you hope. That's what I get hope. I start reading the Bible, I go, man, they're jacked up. Like, I mean, I know I'm jacked up, but they're way more jacked up than me. And if God can use them, certainly he can use me. Amen? Come on, if you're watching, just understand, we invite you to come join this jacked up family, okay? We just keep it real. More people God adds to this church, the more jacked up we become. But God is really good at healing and saving and delivering people that get real. We'll get real and just honest and actually admit, you're a mess. I'm a mess. God's really good at cleaning up messes. Amen? So be encouraged with that today. He loves you. And he's for you. Number 10. Can you believe it? This is a miracle. I got through all 10. I know some of you were a little anxious when I said I had 10 ways to be ready for the other side, weren't you? It's cool. It's all right. God forgives your unbelief, all right? And so do I. I release you and all those watching online. I release you. God believes in me even when you don't, okay? Number 10, be ready. Be ready. Come on, say it. I'm ready. Verse 9 says, the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So, Colossians 4, verse 2, as I begin to close. Beginning, not closing. Continue praying, keeping alert, always thanking God. Our next service, when we have all the seniors, if there's one thing I can impart, one thing I can just beg that you get, that these seniors get, the one thing I know that has opened the door to the abundant life for me and my wife and our family is that it's an attitude of being ready. It's all about attitude. It's attitude. Do you expect good things? Are you believing for good things? Or are you always having the attitude the other shoe's going to drop? The more you fear, the more you believe the other shoe, the more shoes are going to drop in your life. I mean, even Job, it says, the things he feared came upon him. I'm not saying it was because of unrighteousness, but it just says, is what it says. The things he feared came upon him. Now, whether things come upon us or not, fearing those things coming upon us is not going to make it any better. Be ready. Are you ready for God? Are you ready for the God of miracles? What kind of attitude do you have? It took 40 years for God to get the people of Israel ready for the promised land. Maybe God's desiring to use Corona to get us, the church, to get us ready for a promised land that he has. I don't know about you, but I'm ready. And I want to be ready. And next week, we're believing God for greater things. And we want to invite you to come be with us. And if you're not ready to, that's all right. Keep coming and being with us online. That's okay. I don't know all that's on the other side. I'm making predictions as I'm in the Word, as I'm praying, because God's calling us to. Look, Bethel, we're a church that believes in prophecy. Why are we that church? Because the Bible says we're to be people that prophesy. That's why. If the Bible says it here at Bethel, that settles it. Yeah. Are you ready? Are you ready? What's your attitude like? Sometimes it's going through these ways of being ready that you get to finally the place of having the right attitude, of being ready with the right attitude. There's no question. No question, because of the grace of God and what the grace of God produced in me to have a great attitude has promoted me, has opened doors, has gotten me invited over to people's houses for dinner, has gotten invited me onto vacations, has gotten promotions, has gotten me to be the captain of almost every sport team that I was on. Eventually, I became the captain. Why? Because I was the best athlete? No. Because the attitude that comes from walking with God promotes you, elevates you. People with good attitudes, the right attitudes, attitudes like Jesus, those people get invited over. 40 years of bad attitude kept the children of Israel out of the promised land. Church, it's time to enter the promised land. But guess what? God's not allowing into the promised land a bad attitude. You go, oh, wait a second, come on, man, we live under grace and mercy. Exactly. That's why you can have a good attitude. See, because even if you experience the land flowing with milk and honey, if you don't have the attitude, what good is it? You don't enjoy it. You can't enjoy it. And this is the abundant life God's calling us to. So I'm inviting you to cross over with me. I'm inviting you to cross over. Let's go to the other side together. Let's inherit all that God has for us as a people, as a family. And God's not done. God's not done. He's resurrecting things and dreams. And this week, let's prepare these last 7 days before we fully reassemble in the doors, inviting everybody that can. And if that means we have 4, 5, 6, 7 services, I may start leading worship and running the soundboard. But we're going to have the doors open. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, that we can be ready because of what you've done. You make us ready by your grace, your mercy. If you're here today, you're struggling, God of all comfort is here to comfort you. If you're watching online, I hope that you've been stirred to hope, to put your faith and your trust in Jesus today. He's so good. He's so good. Wherever you're at today, here in the building or online, Jesus wants to meet you there. All you have to do is invite him. All you have to do is open up your heart to him. He'll come in. He'll touch you. He'll fill you. Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. That peace will enter you. In these uncertain times, there's a peace that transcends all understanding. If you desire that, you're ready to ask him in, would you pray this prayer with me? Say, Jesus, I surrender. I give you my life. I give you my future. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my attitude. Forgive me of my selfishness. Today, I put my trust in you. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me and for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Remember this, you are loved, you are blessed, you are highly favored. Let's live loved. God bless you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.